Welcome to Real Talk Love Therapy. I'm Eli.
I'm Daisha.
Where we cut the bullshit, challenge stereotypes of what love looks like for the millennial age. This week's episode, Marriage in the Millennial Age. So y'all already know what it is. It is shout out time. We have to give a shout out to Max Iglesias. We have to give our shout out to Rosario Solano, Patrick McMurray. We appreciate all y'all. And then the latest to pledge, to make it to the shout out club. I think we should call it the shout out club. Daisha's not here, so I'm just going to call it the shout out club. The latest person to make it to the shout out club, Crystal LeBlanc, thank you so much for pledging, keeping this going. We literally can't do this without these pledges. So if you want to be a part of the shout out club, patreon.com/realtalklovetherapy. Enjoy, y'all.
I just feel like if you guys want me to say it, you guys should just let it be known that I should be able to do a few, but it's fine. I know that this is that's Eli's favorite part.
That is my favorite part. I really want to set the mood when I say that. Sound off in the comments if you're hashtag Team Eli on the intro of hashtag Team Daisha.
Well, they wouldn't know how to be Team Me because I've never gotten to do it.
But you got in last episode and you butchered it. So.
No, well, that's because there was a lot of pressure and stress because you made it seem like this was my
anyway,
one and done time.
We have a guest here.
We do. And the guest brought us wine. Look, she wins the Guest of the Year award right now.
Oh, so nice. Thank you so much.
Yes.
No problem. Thank you. Just sharing some birthday wine.
Yeah. Birthday wine. Hey. What was your birthday?
My birthday was about 3 days ago.
Oh, my God. Happy belated.
Ooh,
thank
you.
That's what's up.
Yes. Flirty 30.
The big 3-0.
The big 3-0.
Flirty 30.
Let's pour these bad boys.
There's about to be some real talk on this couch today.
I think it's twist up.
It's twist up.
Oh, it's twist up. Okay.
Because, you know, I'm 30, but I'm practical.
She just turned 30. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know. Is there, like, a rule, like, when you turn 30, you can't do the twist wine anymore? Is that, like, a certain...
No, it's like, I'm 30, corks only, bitches. Yeah. Corks only.
This smells really good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
What kind is it?
I don't know. It was a gift. Carrie got it for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. There.
This is like very intense wine glasses.
Yes, these are my Olivia Pope glasses.
I was just about to say that.
Yes.
Like these are your Kerry Washington popcorn glasses.
Yup.
I love them. I have like shitty tiny ones. I gotta upgrade my game.
Okay.
This one keeps falling out.
It's okay. You can just have one.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
We're gonna clink?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cheers.
Woo! Some real talk happening today. Why you gotta be like that?
Trash.
Like, can't have nothing nice.
Oh my gosh.
So Bree, our guest.
Hi.
Yes, so Bree is our guest this week, and Bree is a very dear friend of mine. She was the second black person in the BuzzFeed office when I started. I was the first one there on the edit side, and then Bree came in literally like 2 weeks later. On my birthday.
Yes.
Bree literally held down the fort at BuzzFeed post-production. All of those YouTube videos that y'all saw between 2014 to what, like 2016?
Like 2015, 2016, yeah.
Yeah, 2016. That was because of this magical creature right here. Like literally like pulling hard drives off of people, uploading it to YouTube herself. So, all of the BuzzFeed magic that you've enjoyed over the years, and especially in those initial days, was due to Bree.
Oh, thank you.
And now she has gone on to do bigger and better and badder things at other companies. So,
yay!
Yeah, Bree, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. How do we get started? We just get into it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can so. One of the reasons why I wanted Bree to come on specifically is because in the time that I've known Bree, when we first met, Bree was all about that marriage life, all about like babies, kids. She's a Cancer. So, you know, all about the house and the family. Eli's shaking his head.
Well, I'm a Cancer and I don't want those.
Okay,
things.
But like gender also plays a huge role into it. And
but
a crab with a dick is totally
no.
But listen to how Eli was talking about his house earlier. Like
exactly.
That's such a Cancer thing. hammock. Exactly. Yes, because you want a hammock. You have a plant now.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, like he was really going in about wanting to decorate his home. So that's.
I want to marry my hammock.
That's... Well, no, and Cancers are also like known for being like homebodies. You guys like comfort. You like, mm-hmm. you know, the home means a lot to you. And I think that that's definitely you. Like, you love to like sit around and like watch Queer Eye and like.
Everyone likes have to sit a thing around of and watch wine. Queer Eye.
Like, yeah, but like, you know, so don't fine, start fine. Me.
Sorry, go on.
Thank
go
you.
On.
Let me continue with my sermon. Okay, so yes, when I met Bree, she was all about house, home, family. And in the last year or so, I would say, there's been like a huge shift where she's now just about being this like hustling, boss queen, getting it, like, you know, focusing on her career more. And I think that that's so interesting, especially in relationship to the fact that, like she mentioned, she just turned 30. And so I know that age and women and marriage, like those three things, there's so many overlaps of like insecurity that can pop up once you've reached a certain age and you're not married. And so I think that as we all think about as we're getting older and like just reevaluating that sense of pressure, because I know it's something that I remember feeling as a kid, mm-hmm. and that now I'm so far removed from it. And so as someone who I feel like has made this huge transitional shift, like maybe if you want to talk a little bit more about that and like where you used to be and like where do you think some of those pressures were coming from to feel like you wanted to be married so quickly?
Okay, so like I definitely think that the societal pressures of marriage are a huge thing. I'm 30 now. I've been 30 for 3 days, and I have a lot of friends who are actually married, and then I have friends that are like about maybe 2 to 3 years younger, and they're like not even thinking about marriage. And so like when I was 26, like back when I was 20, going, you know, thinking about this future decade, I was like very adamant on being married by 26 because that's how old my mama was.
Hold off. Gotta swirl it, get the legs.
This bougie motherfucker acting.
See the legs.
Like, oh,
it's
yeah.
true. That's how you gotta see swirl and then see the legs. I really do enjoy wine.
Do you?
I do.
Then why you ain't got some Olivia Pope glasses then?
I know. I really need to invest in those. I'm trying to get a hammock. Okay.
I'll send you a link for some good wine glasses.
Oh, thank you.
I have wine glasses that don't have stems, but they're wide like this.
Oh, I think I've seen those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are neat.
But you need all kinds of glasses.
I need to upgrade my life in general.
Look at you being all cancery in your feels.
Okay. What field? I'm talking about glasses.
I know. You're like, I got to upgrade my life, my home.
Oh, God. Home life is very important.
It is.
Like, I'm getting older. I don't want, like, the, you know, the fucking Tarantino posters up with no frames. You know, I want to at least put the frames around the Tarantino posters.
Oh, my God,
posters.
You need a frame. I have a frame guy. I'll send you to him.
You're like everyone. Like, I have a rug guy. I have a plant guy. Cool. All right, so you're saying with your...
Oh, yes. So I was very adamant. When I was 20, I was very adamant about being married by 26. Now, mind you, when I was 20, I was like in a relationship that wasn't like that was actually just like horrible trash sandwich relationship, and so like I was like, okay, well, you know, 26, that can happen. I felt it, but then I fucked up and I moved to LA, and
you know, fucked up.
I mean, if you want to be alone, this is the place to be.
Yeah, like. Real talk, kind of, but it's just, LA is a very tricky place to, like, date and find love, I feel. But 26 was the age that my mama got married. You know, I felt that was a good age to have kids because, like, you'd be young. So, like, by the time that, like, you start popping them out, I wanted to have two. So, like, they'd be done by 30. And then, like, by the time they're in their 20s, I'm, like, still, like, a cute 50, like, ready to, like, live my life and shit, like, go travel. And they're, mm-hmm. like, you know, go visit them and hang out with them if they, like me and stuff. So, you know, I wanted that kind of head start in a way because I wanted to be that young mom. But, like, 26 came. And boy, did 26 come. 26, I just was like, wow, like, your shit is not together. And, like, thank God you don't have a kid because the generation is completely different. Like, my mom had a kid at 26. Like, she went to some college, but then she had the husband to, like, take care of the baby and stuff. Like, she had, like, the solid dude to take care of her. So she didn't really, like, she worked, but, like, it wasn't a necessary thing. And, like, back then, that's how it was. Like, you find yourself a nice guy who's going to marry you and take care of your kids. Now, I'm that nice guy who's going to take care of your kids.
Yes.
Like, I am that person who's going to take care of
bills. I take care of my own damn self.
Because now, this generation is so independent. Like, I don't need a man. Like, I can do all the shit myself. Like, 401k, like, I got that. Like, paying my bills on auto pay, I got that. And it's automated. Like, you know, taking care of my apartment, getting stuff hung up. No, I don't got that, but I can pay someone to do that for me.
So then you got that.
So I got that.
You got apps for that.
Yeah. You got Handy. You got friends who owe you favors. Like, I got that. So I don't necessarily even really need a man. But I want one. And I think that when I was younger, I was like, oh, I need a man. Because, like, when you have a man, everything's put together. And it's like, no, it ain't. Because sometimes these men are not put together. And that makes you look like your shit's not together. Because you just can't be dating any old body. It's like how Aaliyah said it. What did she say? She's like, you can't tell nobody because I'm not just anybody. Like, a lot of us are not just anybody. Like, everyone is not just anybody. You have to be very particular about who you bring into your life when it comes to marriage.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Because that's a long commitment. I mean, I'm trying to do it for the long haul. Like, I don't really want to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I get money like that, I'll get a prenup, so I'm safe.
Yeah.
But I want to stay in it for the long haul because I do believe in that romantic marriage love. And it's just two people working it out together. Like, I had an old coworker who got married, and it was really cute because on their inside their wedding bands, it says, like, you know, are we still doing this? Like, and it's just like every choice, every day they make a choice to, like, you know, are we still doing this? We're still gonna work this out, and it's like, okay. And I was like, that's so cute. I want that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I think it's such a place for where we are and what we're doing in the industry that we're in as well, where, like, we're in a major city with the job. So, like, perfect example of what LA is like. I was in a relationship for like a year, and she was super about me, super about it, but I was like, you know what, I'm not, there's so much energy that's being taken away, and it was a stressful relationship, mind you, but it was the whole, I'm in my 20s, and I want to take advantage of my career, and yada, 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 and I need to go for it, and everything else, and I don't need a relationship right now, and she wasn't in the industry, and I think it says a lot about, like, we make this choice coming here and doing these things, whereas, like, my sister, she's a year older than me, and, like, she's 28, and she gets so much pressure for not, like, settling down, and she's in Northwest Indiana, so it's, like, this case where, like, oh, you don't have a kid? And I talked to her boyfriend for the first time this year, and I was like, what's up, man? What you about? Like, oh, man, I'm just stressed out, bro. I'm like, why? I'm like, I'm gonna be 30 and I don't have a kid. And I'm like, what?
It's crazy to me that people are stressed out about not having kids when, like, a kid is a constant state of stress. You get no chill after you have a kid. So the fact that you're stressed about not having one is insane.
Just think of, like, all those stressed out couples that are, like, at an Applebee's and the kid's fucking crying. And they're just cutting food like they're not hearing anything. And they're just, like, just living because that's their life. And they're just, like, bloodshot eyes and, like, pain and frustration.
Yes.
They haven't fucked in, like, 3 months. Like, that. Just think of that as your natural, like, baby repellent.
I also hate the idea that, like, kid, like, and this is something that I feel like, I don't want to say it gets me irrationally mad, but I get really upset when people treat having a child, like, as if it's having a puppy or, like, a thing. Like, having a kid, like, this is a person's life and future that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I just hate the idea of people thinking, like, oh, well, you know, I'm at this age where I need to have this thing now that represents success. Because to me, that's selfish. And it's like, you're not really thinking about, can you provide the life that the child needs to grow and be its best self? You're just caring about what this child says about you and their social status.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, you know, I would like to rid the world of as many fucked up people as we can. But at the same time, like, that starts with understanding why they got that way. And, like, when you really look at that, like, a lot of that is because, you know, you come from people and families where it was just like you being created wasn't you weren't the priority in terms of why they created you. They created you either to feed their own ego or to have you say something, represent something about themselves, or for you to carry on their dying wish when it's like that might not be your own. Yeah. And like, I just wish that we thought about having a kid as like, I want to be able to create a kid that can live its own best life in the way in which that they see fit, and that I am at a place where I can provide them with all of the resources and all of the support to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah, that just...
It's just interesting where, like, I mean, they are living their lives that they're going to live for the next, like, 20, 30 years. Like, I think it's the case where we're not where we want to be, whereas they have the job already. Like, this is it. Like, she, you know, she has her job. That's what it's going to be. That's going to be her life. They're going to have this house together. And this is how it's going to be for the next 30 years. Like, for me, it's like, I want this. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to bring someone else into the party that could be a kid and also a significant other, or put that energy in until I'm at this place.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the constant, like, path we're, like, focused on in priority list versus her, where this, I'm already there. So why don't I just, like, just do the damn thing? And to have the pressure from around. So, like, I'll talk to them, and they try to give me shit. Like, you're an old Eli. And I'm like 25. And I feel like 30-year-olds.
You are almost 28.
28. But I feel like I'm, like, 23 in LA. Like, I feel like I was at brunch, and these two women were talking. And they were talking, like, yeah, you know, he's, like, 30, but he's not LA 30. He's, like, actually 30. Like, LA 30 is, like, when you realize you're not going to be a famous bass player and you should probably get a job. Like, that's like
damn,
LA 30.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I don't know. There's some older people who are like, yeah, I'm not going to be a famous bongo drummer in LA. That's not going to happen.
I'm curious about with your sister, like, so I think it's interesting because I think you established a really important point, which is that, like, your sister and her boyfriend are at their, what feels like, I don't want to say peak point in life, but, like, a peak point for... you know, having a place to live and, you know, someone that they love and a job that they care about, like, outside, like, it doesn't seem like your sister or her boyfriend, they have any other bigger aspirations. So then what do you think is keeping them from wanting to marry each other? Not that I think that they have to, but, like, I'm just curious about...
I think they're saving money for that Mexico trip, and then once they go, it's gonna happen.
Okay.
Like, it's more like an inevitable thing. They've only been together for, like, a year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've been together with that girlfriend for a year, and I was like, yo, this ain't gonna work. I need to work on my shit. Whereas they're together for a year, and it's, like, super quick. Like, well, we live together now. Well, there are certain circumstances why they live together now, but, like, it's just they're naturally falling into the funnel, which is this matrimony space, mm-hmm. where it's, like, who I am. Like, I made the decision coming into L.A. that, like, I'm probably gonna be 40 and single, and I'm okay with that. And, so it's not a priority to me. But I think that's the case with, like, multiple people. Like, you look at Japan, no one's, like, banging, no one's dating, no one's doing nothing. Like, everyone's just, like, they say when it's, like a higher level society or whatever else, like, marriage is not necessarily, or, like, dating's banging, having kids, marriage, that whole thing is not as important because, you know, they don't need it. Like, there's this independence, like you were saying, is that, like, why should I? I can mm-hmm. afford not to have... Mm-hmm. kids and a husband and those things. So, like, why would I? Why, like, I'd rather go to Europe for a month versus not doing that and being stuck at home and watching a kid. Like, that's now a choice based off where we're at now. So it's like, why not indulge in that? And that shame is not there of how it was back then. Like, if my grandma did that, she's like, I'm gonna go to Europe. Like, what? You heathen, you need to, like, burn you at the stake. Like, it's crazy where we're at now, but it's very interesting, and I think it's just a natural scope of, like, education and investment and independence.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I remember there was this, like, Chinese mini doc that I watched where, and I don't know in which part of China or if it's a general Chinese sentiment, but, like, it was basically talking about the leftover woman, mm-hmm. and it's this thing that they have where it was just, like, if a woman turns 30... and she's not married, then she's seen as a leftover woman. Mm-hmm. And so I do think it's something that is cross-cultural amongst women. And you know, I won't make that a huge statement about that just because, like, all I can think about is this Chinese doc. But, like, I definitely think that there is something to be said about there being a pressure particularly put on women. And I think it's something that starts even as young as, like, when you come out, like, when you're growing up. Mm-hmm. Because when I was younger, I remember, like, the thing that would put me to bed and the thing that I would think about the first thing I woke up was getting married. And, like,
good
you know.
Lord.
Yeah, and it was, like, having a crush to envision them to be my husband. And, like, I just don't ever think that my male friends grew up with that same kind of desire or sentiment. Now I think about marriage and I'm like, ugh. Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
Not that I think that marriage is gross, but I think that there's just so many inaccurate statements. And first of all, I'm like, first and foremost, if you don't understand that marriage is a business transaction, like, and that that's where the root of it came from, then, like, that's problematic to me in and of itself. Because I think that there are so many ways in which marriage is carried out now that, in a lot of ways, like, if women aren't as well informed, like, it is to their detriment to get married. Like, if you don't have a prenup, if you don't have certain protections put in place. But yeah, like, when you think about the early roots of marriage and you think about the dowry and all of that, like, literally families would have girls to sell them off in a marriage to make money off of them. Like, marriage in a weird way, and I know, I'm not trying to be a feminazi about this, but, like, it does feel like early stages of, like, slight child slavery. I don't know. But, like, to me, it's like, I feel like there's so much more about marriage that needs to be, like, talked about and unearthed and, like, that we are revisiting so that we're not falling into these very old systems that feed into then keeping women at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely it. So, like, so would you say you fall into that as well? Because you wanted to get married.
And I still do want to get married. But I now understand how much damn work it is. Like, how much you really have to be about that marriage life in order to get into it. Like, okay, so for instance, and what you were talking about earlier, it made me think about her name. I'm going to mess it up, but it's Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how she had said, you know, that women are taught to aspire to marriage and men aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a huge thing.
That's
because,
huge.
Like, we get the Disney princess stuff, and it's like, you know, oh, like, you know, one day, like, you'll get your own prince and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at Meghan Markle, and she was 36 when she got her prince, literally.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that, yes, like, when you do hit 30, there is, like, this general panic of, like, what the fuck is going on with you? Like, why aren't you married yet? Like, what's wrong? And I feel that, like, I feel that that's been reflected with me. Like, people are like, oh, like, why are you single and stuff? Like, you'll find someone. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'll find someone, but I just don't want any old body.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, I cannot just marry anybody just for the sake of marrying someone because, like, they can fuck up your credit.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to get your credit right after it was low? I can't have that in my life. I can't have a volatile partner who does not have their shit together. Like, it is so important to me to date someone who is my equal.
Exactly.
And who cares about the same things that I do. Like, having good credit, like, well, not that that's the only thing I care about.
What's that credit? Send me those numbers first. Yeah,
I was like, before we go on a date, what's your credit score, sir?
You have the creditscore.com app ready to go. Just like, here, put it in.
But, like, I just, it's just such a big deal. Like, I got out of a relationship in May, and I feel like, it's weird to say this, but I feel like I low-key targeted him because, like, he had been married before, and don't judge me.
Well, no, I'm not, you targeted him in just this very aggressive way to, like,
I know, it
did
is.
Did you know his credit score or something? Like, you were at the bank and looked over his shoulder?
I
like,
didn't
oh,
care about credit scores
oh,
a few
okay.
months ago,
oh,
but,
wow,
like,
okay.
I've evolved so much in these past, like, I would say 5 months that I'm like, that's a factor now, but, like, I dated this guy because I was, like, in that urge of, like, oh, God, I'm about to turn 30. Like, I need to have, like, a marriage prospect.
Wow.
And then I had, look, there's pressures, Eli.
No, I'm validating that. I think this is really good conversation. Like, we should dive into that. Like, what is that? Why and whatever?
I just, like, I panicked because, like, it was, like, the new year. And, like, I was, like, oh, shit, I'm going to be 30 this year. And I don't have any marriage prospects whatsoever. And so I started dating this guy. Like, don't get me wrong. I, like, adored him. He was great. you know, I learned a lot about myself, but, like, I also was like, but he's been married before. And, like, I mean, yeah, he got a divorce, but that was, like, when he was younger and stuff. And I get that. He was older. He was 36, and that's a factor, too, because when they're older, they're easy to pick. If they, I'm like, oh, you 36? You want to get married, don't you?
And he was like, I don't know. Some of these older ones out here.
Some of the older ones. It's like, there's a reason why you're not married, and I can see that. Like, I peep it.
Because I can date 20-year-olds. That's why I'm not married. That's probably why this 36-year-old's like, why would I do that?
But, like, he wanted kids and stuff. Like, we kind of had the same values in a way. But, like, there was just some things that he did not take care of about himself. Like, he didn't really take care of his health. He didn't take care of his mental health, which is a huge thing now.
Yeah.
Like,
if you marrying somebody, God, like,
I cannot marry you unless I want to have a conversation with your therapist giving me a clean bill of health to start dating you, because I need to make sure that your emotional baggage, I need to make sure that that's something manageable that I can handle.
But I think that that's an important point to bring up, is like how much, like if you aren't, well, so I think it's an important point to bring up when we think about the fact that, like, men, and there tends to be a stigma around mental health and getting those services. And so, like, when you're marrying someone who, like, doesn't want to take the time to take care of themselves mentally, like, a marriage, like you said, if you're in it for the long haul, their good days are your good days, but their bad days are your bad days. And if they're not taking care of themselves, then you are essentially walking into long days of bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's a huge toll that I also think women are expected to shoulder. Like, I remember, and this talk broke my heart, but I was at this conference, Blog Her, and this woman was giving her talk about how, I'm trying to remember, she like got into this terrible car accident to where like she was pretty much almost paralyzed, and she was married at the time. And, it was like months, and actually I think it was like years of recovery, and her husband left her. And when she was telling this story, she was like, I know, and he left me because I wasn't being the wife I needed to be. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you trying to say that that you being hurt outside of your own means, and this motherfucker couldn't hold you down, that that's your fault? And I was like, this is why I can't be a wife. This is, I can't do it. Yes. Like, because
yes, it is your fault.
Because for you to be going through something and then, like, you know, your husband can't stick around for 5 minutes, like, you were hit, you know, like, you were almost killed, and, like, he can't stick around, but then, like, you know, if your husband is going through something and you want to leave, you're seen as, like, the most evil, like, conniving, oh, gold digger, blah, 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 she couldn't hold down her man, la, 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 and I just think that that's crazy. Like, a marriage is supposed to be a partnership, and I just don't think that that's how it's viewed right now.
Was it ever a partnership? When you really think about
it. No, I don't think it was.
How were your grandparents, how did your grandparents meet? How did your parents meet? Like, back in the day, if the women were who they were back in the day with that kind of independence and away from that shame, the shamelessness, would they be with anybody? Like, because my grandfather, how my grandparents met, is my grandma was a goody-two-shoe church-going woman, and her next-door neighbor was my grandfather, who escaped Puerto Rico because he fucked his uncle's wife. So he had to leave because uncle was, like gonna kill him. He denies it, but we all know my grandpa, and he did it. But he he came down to Puerto Rico, ended up living next to her, and he was a smooth-talking guy trying to, like, holler, you know, do his thing. My grandma walked to work. She worked at a hospital, so she would walk to work every day. So my grandpa was like, hey, why don't you just let me drive you to work every day? She's like, nah, I'm not going to get in a car with you. I'm like, nah, I'm good. So he would drive next to her, like, every day, drive next to her every day until finally she, like, let up and are like, fine, okay. And then that's why the whole family's here. But that's the thing. It's like, and you hear about all those grandpas that, or, like, back in the day used to, like, beat on the grandmas and stuff, and now are all sweet now. But you hear about, like, a lot of these older men that were just the worst. So it's like, if you dated back then, would you be with anyone? And
I don't think I would. I think I'd be a cat lady.
Yeah, it's like, you can't do half those stories now. Like, I can't drive up to a girl like, hey girl, what's up? You want to come over for a ride? Like, every day? Like, yeah. I'm in jail. Like,
yeah.
And I love how those were, like, the sweet stories back in the day. Like, didn't let up. He just kept going. I'm like, nah, man.
That's,
like,
some stalker shit.
You say no, I run. I'm not about to be in a blog post. Like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So
not about to Me Too me.
Yeah, so it's like, what was it ever really romantic? And that kind of, and that goes back to what you were saying, Daisha, is like, what kind of romantic kind of fantasy are we talking about here? Was there ever really was a marriage fantasy? Mm. Or is, are we just building this up and that from nothing?
Okay, so this is actually interesting because, like, you know, I always had, I was in my therapy session last week on Wednesday, and my therapist told me, we were having a discussion about the fact that feminism has changed the face of dating. Mm. And I was like, oh, what the fuck do you mean? Like, I was like, what do you mean by that? And because the situation was, is I was walking towards my work one day. It was the day before my birthday, so I was very happy. And I just was, like, feeling really good, listening to my music and stuff. And a guy walked past me, but we made eye contact, and he smiled at me. He was like, hey. And I was like, hi. And we did, like, the look back and everything. Like, we walked past, and we did the look back. And I was like, ooh, like, I was like, shit, should I say something? But then I was like, oh, he didn't say anything, so I'm not going to say anything. Mm. But then I regretted it. I was like, shit, I should have said something. But then the traditional part of me was like, no, because if he wanted me, he could have had me. He could have just said something. And I told my therapist about it, and he was like, well, why didn't you say something? I was like, because I wanted him to come after me. And he was like, well, no, that's not how it is now these days. Like,
hell
you,
no.
He's like, you could have said something.
Yeah.
And I was like,
please, I've been on this train. For the love of God, talk to me, ladies. Tell me that you want me. If you're on the street and you think I'm hot, you think I'm at a bar or I'm working out at the gym or all these places, stop me, but Eli, or like, hey, what's up? What's your name? What to do, babe? Please, because I'm never going to stop you because I hear too many damn stories from my lady friends about, like, I'm just trying to work out, focused, and this guy trying to holler at me.
Listen, we talked about this. I know. It's not that he talked to me at the gym.
I know, but it's you hear those stories, and I feel like such a douchebag if I come up to you and be like, hey, can I buy you a drink? I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to do it. I don't want to be that guy.
No one's saying to never do it.
I'm not saying don't ever do it. I'm just talking about my own fear.
I know, but I'm just, and I'm like, saying that for you. Like, it's not that you should never go up to a girl and ask her out. Just read the room. That's all we're asking. Like,
I don't know, man.
If I'm working out, why are you trying to holler at me? Like, or you could at least get me as I'm getting off the treadmill.
The men that talk to you, I don't know who they are, where they came from, or I don't know. They're special people. But it's the case where, like, there's moments where, like, there's girls that we had long conversations. We talked late. All these other things. I'm like, should I? Nah. And then, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I'm like, hey, can I get your number? Like, no, I'm not interested. And I'm not really, I can't. I'm like, oh, I have a boyfriend or this or that. And I'm like, the fuck? So,
but I don't think that you should be scared just because, I mean, like, it's the luck of the draw, right?
And rejection happens. I think
this,
like,
is very true.
Because, like, the thing is, now women, now that the face of feminism has changed, women deal with rejection. I got rejected at a party drinking rosé a few weeks ago, and I was devastated for like an hour and 15 minutes, but then I got over that shit.
I love
quick.
How she's like 15 minutes, 47 seconds.
And I also love how you said you were drinking rosé. Like, that was very important. You know, I was zipping rosé. And this didn't happen.
And I was talking to this guy. He was really cute. And we were like, it was a vibe. I was like, you know you're feeling this shit. Because, like, I'm drinking rosé. You're drinking a little rosé. Like, we're vibing. And, like, he, I was like, okay, hey. And I'm really, like, awkward and cute with it, too. Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm really cute with it, though. Like, and I was just like, you know, hey, like, you know, can I have, you know, should we hang out at some point? Like, can we exchange information and stuff? We both worked in the industry. I was like, you know, you're someone to know. And he was like, well, you know, like, I'm not really, you know, looking for a relationship right now. Like, I just got out of something.
He just wants the butt.
But no, he doesn't even want that.
He didn't want the butt?
No, like, he was like...
You know, some of us need time to heal when we
after
leave.
After a breakup.
Usually that's the script guys say, is when they just want the butt. Like, I'm not really looking for anything serious right now. I'm focusing on me.
But the thing was that he said that he was in therapy. He was you know, I'm going to... you know, he's like, I need time for myself to, like, work through my therapy and stuff. I was like...
That's real.
Yes, Zaddy, yes. You with your self-aware ass.
You gotta like that even more.
I loved him. I was like, oh my God, this is so sexy. It's like, yes, you rejected me, but get your life, get your therapy, and then holler at me if you're ready because I will bust a wide open.
But to me,
I should go to therapy.
That's real though. That's real though because.
But that doesn't sound like rejection to me. That just sounds like, you know, like I'm just trying to do me. I want to be the best version of me, so just give me a minute. Like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like it's rejection.
It felt a little bit like rejection, but I see your point. My therapist said the same thing, but I'm very dramatic. So it felt like rejection. Because I'm about those like numbers. Like I'm like I need to get these numbers, but like I'm not.
But see, that's like more that. About you than it's about the situation. You
precisely.
Know what I mean?
I know, but so it wasn't a rejection, it wasn't, but I really appreciated his honesty and the fact that he's self-aware enough to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I've turned 30. I feel like I'm a different person now. And, mm-hmm. like, after talking with my therapist, he was like, you know, just sort of, I'm not afraid of rejection. Like, you know, I'm more so if a job rejects me, I'm more hurt by that than if a man rejects me. I'm just mm-hmm. like,
yes.
that's what happens. Like, that's not going to affect my paycheck. Like, you rejecting me isn't going to do anything about that. That just means that, like, you can't see the greatness or whatever. You can't, like, recognize real. Because I lost track, but, like...
No, I think what you're saying is real. I'm the same way. I kind of had this realization, we talked about it recently, where, like, I'm at a point where, like, my priority is my career. And when I first got out of my relationship, I, like, said that exact thing where, like, I turned down women where... It's like, right now I'm not in a good place, like, and mm-hmm. I just want to, I respect your time, and I want to be able to be there for you when we are intimate. Because even when they wanted the butt, I'm like, I'm not there yet.
Right.
So, and they appreciate, like, wow, I appreciate that so much from everything else, all the bullshit I hear. So it's like, that's, that kind of realness and openness is important, I feel.
And also, to tag on to that, for me, I don't know, like, when it comes to getting sexually involved, like, right now, I don't know what it is, but, like, I'm just very, because, like, the last person I dated, me and him got to know each other very, very well, and, like, I was very comfortable with him sexually. Like, I was so comfortable, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, having a one-night thing where it's, like, you don't get comfortable, yeah. and then, like, and it just doesn't work out, but, like, I was so comfortable with him, like, I discovered new things about myself, like, it was really great, and now, like, I, like, the next person who I, like, end up having sex with, I would like to, you know that we're on the same page. Like, you know, he wants to have a relationship. Not even marriage, but just mm-hmm. like, well, I would like for marriage to be, like, down the line for him. Like, he would like that, too. We're on the same page regarding that. But, like, I think it's so much better when you get to know someone and, like, you are kind of aligned mm-hmm. and, like, you want the same things.
Yeah.
So, like, you can work towards that. And then you're comfortable to... crack open a headboard and shit. Like, I...
crack open a headboard?
Like, that's how I feel. Like, that's how I feel. So,
So you just want cock and cuddles.
Oh, my God.
And marriage.
And marriage.
Cock and cuddles.
Yeah,
that's... But it's not only the dick. It's not only the butt, but you want the cock and cuddles.
Yeah, the cock and cuddles and some matrimony.
Yeah, well, yeah, later on in the line. Like, I get that. Like, it's the case where, like, I gotta vibe with someone, like... I think, especially a lot of people think for men, we just want to, like, do it, and doesn't matter who it is or what it is or what, you know. But I think it's the case where, like,
that's true to some degree.
Okay, it's true to some degree, sure, of course. But it is very true as far as, like, you know, men could have bad sexual situations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very valid what you're saying is that, like, maybe I don't want to, like settle down, but this is what my future looks like, or what I, like, yeah, I want to be with you, like, hardcore, but we could at least, like. I can't just, like, we're just going to bump bellies and I'm going to see you later. I got to vibe with you. I need conversation. I need conversation.
Bumping bellies. It's interesting to bring up the point about, there was something about money that I wanted to talk about, just because I do think back in the day there was a sense of, like, financial reliance. Like, you kind of got married for freedom because, like you said, like, you know, when you think about the dowry age, like, you know, your parents raised you so that they could sell you off in a marriage, and that was kind of your only escape out of your family, was, like, getting married to someone and then being financially reliant on that person. And so it's like, I like that we are now, well, there was a general point that I was trying to make, and it's now gone, because cock and cuddles completely just...
completely. Brought to you by cock and cuddles.
Cock and cuddles. When you need a man for today, tomorrow, and maybe next week. Cock and cuddles.
Or the rest of your life.
Or
cock
the rest
and cuddles.
Of your life. Cock and cuddles.
Get it while Todd.
Oh, God.
Money thing. Are you just talking about, like, yeah, the financial dependency of what marriage looked like?
Yeah, like, I just think that financial independence is something that I still think that women should strive for, because I guess another element of it when we think about marriage and career is that I know some people maybe struggle with the idea of, like, do I leave my job to now take care of my kids, or do I stay at my job and, like, have kids and maintain this family life? Like, I guess, like, it's like you were saying, like, I do think it's an important question of whether or not marriage is actually a partnership, or if we are ever going to get to this place where marriage is actually a partnership, because I think that, you know, allowing women to be more financially independent and then not feeling like they have to sacrifice everything. Like, I think that that's where I get a little, what's the word, hesitant about marriage. Like, I still don't know if I want to be married yet. Like, I think that for me, I definitely want a life partner. I definitely want someone that I'll commit myself to and that I care about. I just don't know if I want to be married, because right now I just think that marriage is a bad contract.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel like the only reason why, like, I'll get married is for my mom. Like, I feel like my mom's going to get old and she's going to be like, I want to see this before I die. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. Okay, I was with her for like 12 years. All right, let's just
but
do
even
the damn
that,
thing.
Like, I feel like I would have a wedding because I want that party.
So
I want the
love
dress.
Party.
I want to walk down the aisle, but I'm like, I don't want to sign the contract. I don't want to. Because I also think there are very stereotypical roles that people expect wives to fulfill. That, like, I just don't think I'll be able to.
I don't think, because I feel like you end up with someone that they understand what they're getting into. Like, they know they're not going to put you in a box because that's not who my wife is.
Well, and,
so, like,
but I also think what's interesting is that I think part of marriage isn't just you and your partner. Like, oddly enough, it's you, your partner, and society. Because I know that I feel like people get threatened when they see people in a non-traditional marriage. And it's like, oh, you guys do that? Like
open marriages.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like, they're like, oh.
Okay.
What?
Well, first and foremost, guys, like, remember that, like, okay, this is going to be, like, a really, like, cancery moment and everything where I get really sappy, but, like, there's love. Like, you know, you can just love somebody. And, like, marriage isn't, like, about a contract and stuff. Like, it's about, like, two people getting together because, like, they, like, love each other and they're crazy about each other. You guys look so jaded. Oh, my God.
Until you find their dick in the mailman. Like,
it's not that I feel jaded. It's just that I don't think that marriage, at least how it's used in people's lives today, is seen as that. I feel like for me, like I said, like, I don't mind having a life partner because I think if I can be committed to you without that, that represents my love to you more than marriage. I think a lot of people use marriage as a status accessory, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm 30 and now I'm married and now I'm a wife. And it's like, it's about what having the marriage says about you rather than the actual love of the person. And I think that's why I feel a little bit iffy about marriage, is because I don't think a lot of people respect it. I think that marriage should be about love. I think it should be about you, like, solidifying that special connection that you found with one person. I just don't think that that's how people use it.
Well, no, and if they use marriage to check off a box because of what society says, then that's bullshit, and I'm not down with that.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I'm just getting louder.
Mm-hmm. Is it still going?
Jesus.
Yeah, what the fuck?
This is the busiest it's been. We usually only get one per day, but there's been a couple.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Summer's officially started.
I know, everyone's burning shit down.
Let's burn some shit!
Alright, go ahead, Bree. People using marriage, as an accessory, you don't like it.
No, because, people using marriage as an accessory, I don't like that because, I look at it as a serious ass thing. And, like, I have a really close friend of mine. She actually is going through a divorce right now. And, like, you know, she got married because, like, you know, she thought that, like, it's what she was supposed to do and all of that. And, like, and she did it, and she had this big old wedding. All her friends were there. And, like, you know, and now they're getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the happiest I've ever seen her in my entire fucking existence.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, oh, my God. And I just think it's because she just needed that freedom. Like, her and her husband, her ex-husband, they just, like, were not on the same wavelength. Like, they just weren't. I think that, like, but I think her family was pressuring her. Like, she madly loved this man, but, like, I think that, like, society, because she's, like, 34, 35 right now,
mm-hmm.
I think society was like, oh, no, you gotta get married, and she wanted that, but now she is so happy with being single. Like,
That's interesting.
And it's just, and like, and I have friends, I like one of my other friends, she's a little bit older. She hasn't been married yet. And like, she's like kind of, she's losing hope. She's losing hope that it's going to happen.
I just want
to chime in on that. I feel like that first example was perfect of the clash between traditional societal pressure versus the new age independency.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, yes, we're going to fall in line of this, like, stereotypical storyline of I have to get married and I'm going to fall in line of that pressure. But once that's executed, it's like, wait, I don't have to deal with this shit. I don't have to. And that, and we are seeing what that looks like with that divorce rate where...
But see, this is my thing is that, like, that is such a financial cost. And so to me, like, when I think about, like, protecting people, like, I think that that's my big thing is that's, like, I would, like, I like that we're having this conversation so that people don't have to feel pressured to embark on that because it's, like, the financial cost alone of getting a divorce is insane.
And it ain't that expensive.
Depending on who you're married to.
I saw a train ad in Chicago. It was like divorce is starting at $500. And I saw this lady walk up and take a picture of it on her phone. And I was like, damn.
No, actually, what's funny is that I did pay for a family member's divorce, and it was only $500.
There you go. It was probably that ad. It was probably that same person. We're like
but
plugging
I'm just
their business.
Saying right that, now. Like, to me, like, I feel like a marriage right now, if you're not, it's essentially like the merging of two companies, right? And so it's like you want to make sure that all of the assets are protected because if it's not and you just congealed stuff, when you try to dissolve the two companies and you don't have the proper protections in place, then like it's a mess trying to pull shit apart.
But
like,
that's my prenup.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that, like, I know, like, I've had friends who are just, like, we've talked about prenups, and she's like, I wouldn't get a prenup. A prenup's not romantic.
But it's love.
And I'm like, heffa, what? Like,
you gotta protect yourself. Like, yes, like, I do. So, there is an argument that prenups are not romantic because it's like as if it's setting you up for divorce.
Yeah.
But no, protect your shit. Protect your neck. Like,
yeah, so that's my thing about when we talk about the romantic. Like, yes, ideally, you should marry someone for romance and because you love them. I just don't think that you should let romance blind you.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the biggest problem that we see. Like, we see people getting pushed into decisions that maybe they wouldn't make if they had time to think about it. And it's always usually at a financial detriment. So it's like, oh, well, you know, like, society told me I need to marry this guy. And, like, I just think it's kind of unromantic to have a prenup and blah, 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 blah. And then down the line, you finally realize. I mean, and then there's also the women who, like, feel the pressure to stay in something when they know it's not working. And that's where, like, I also want to change the stigma about divorce. Like, I don't, you know, we shouldn't, like, I'm not saying that we should go and throw you a party. Or, I mean, you can if you want, but I always think,
say congrats when someone tells me they're getting divorced.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they made the decision, like, a big decision to better themselves.
Exactly.
That should be a congratulations, if anything.
I agree. And, like, but that's, like, a big stigma that we're still working on is the fact that, like, people don't want to champion the fact that two adults decided that they realized this wasn't going to work.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I want to support that idea in the sense because, because I talked to some women that, like, I'm like hollering at or whatever. I was like, oh my God, I'd probably get a prenup. She's like, what? No, you can't do that. You can't marry me if that's the case. And I'm like, well, yeah, protect your shit. Like, it's exactly that. Where it's like, you cannot marry me if there is a prenup. I was in debate class in college and I was pro prenup. And the entire class fucking hated me. And it was like, the research was there. I got percentages, receipts, all that. And then plus I played the Gold Digger song, which probably didn't help out my case.
No.
But it was the case where, like, everyone was quiet, but they're also fuming with the idea of that, where it's like, I think it's okay to have that.
Well, because I think that it's almost kind of customary for guys to throw out prenups. And I think that that's where the gender piece comes in, is that, like, for guys, it's always known as, like, if you go into a marriage, you must protect yourself. And I think for women, that same push is not there. Women are never pushed to make sure that they are protecting themselves when they get into a marriage. The idea is just that, like, he's your prince, and, like, you're just supposed to, like, assume that he's always going to have your best interests. And I'm just kind of like, no.
Not at all.
I think that there needs to... I'm a proponent of prenups, too, actually. Like, I think that you... I just think that you just need to go in and protect yourself and protect your assets. Like, I mean, and I'm not making a whole lot of money. Like, I'm not balling out of control here, but, like, I still want to go. If I decide to get into a marriage and then I leave that marriage, I just want to make sure I'm not going to, you know, be broke or anything. Yes. But then also, I do see the benefit of not even getting married at all, so you can protect your credit, because that's a very important thing. I'm very concerned about credit.
Dollars and cents. Like, yeah. If I have to bring in a lawyer to this thing, like, what is it really? Like, because my mom would give me a lot of, like, mess about that, where I'm like, I don't know if I want to get married. She's like, yeah, why would you want to get married? I'm like, okay, let's see. You never married my dad. You don't, like... their current husband very much. Everyone else is in shitty relationships and got divorced. Like, why would I do that? Like, yeah. The proof is in the pudding right there. But, yeah, it's like, it is very much business and just call it, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's just understanding, like, what part of marriage is business and then, like, what part of it is, like, the pleasure and, like, not being romanced, like, not being sidetracked or blinded to like the business or the romance. Like, I guess just having those clear defined boundaries. It's like I said, like, I could totally see myself having a life partner. I want the wedding. I just, until, you know, we can talk about those certain roles that I feel like wives are expected to fulfill, as well as like the money business piece of it, like, I just don't feel comfortable engaging. And it's a bad business contract. Like, if you are not like really aware of what you are getting into, it is a horrible business contract.
I think that women of this day and age, though, are better equipped to handle that. Like, do you guys ever watch that show Good Girls?
No.
Okay, well, it's Christina Hendricks is married to this dude who, like, has a car business or whatever. He has a dealership. And he, like, basically squandered away the money or whatever. And she had no idea. Mm-hmm. And, like, it completely fucked her and they almost lost the house. Sorry to spoil it.
No, that's fine.
It's a good show. But, like, they almost lost their house. And then she had to go work for a cartel man and make money.
So
the fact of the matter is that she got into that relationship very, 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 very young. And I think that when you get into a relationship when you're older, like in your 30s and stuff, or when you're older and like, I think that you would do this, you would protect yourself. But I think that when you have that knowledge of you got to protect your assets and, like, you know, not wanting to get trapped and shit, like, you will go in and you will protect yourself. Like, that's what I think is going to be the change of the face of marriage, is the fact that these women know more and they're more independent and they have their own wealth and they need to protect that as well.
Yes.
But so, also, can we just talk about weddings for a second?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
It's just like, do you have it like, do you have, like, two dresses or one dress? You have, like,
oh, my God.
Because I have two dresses in my wedding fantasy.
Is it bad that I kind of have an idea what I want my wedding to be? Like, even though, like, no. I'm pretty much against it, like, I think about it a lot. Like, okay, what suits?
Yeah.
What color suits do I want to wear? Like, what color do I want the other people to be?
What color?
Songs are we going to play? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, but I think about that. Like, how do I make this the most balling-ass thing ever? Because, like...
I don't think it's bad to think of. I mean, if anything, I feel like that's a nice thing for other men to hear, because, like, I don't think that men are allowed to fantasize like that as much, or it's just not something that they really talk about a lot.
I'm walking up down that aisle too. I want a dope ass song. I want like International Players Anthem, like Andre 3000's. Like,
all right, maybe this is why we just don't want to hear
what
it.
What are you talking about?
I choose you
though. It's a beautiful message. Like, you know, wetness all around me, true, but I'm no island peninsula, maybe. But it's like, I chose you, girl.
See, I fucks with that.
I fucks with it though. That's dope as fuck.
I think you look really good in a navy suit.
Yes, okay.
A navy suit with like a nice pop of color.
Great, love
like,
it.
Like underneath that matches the bridesmaids and everything. Like,
okay.
Yeah, like, I could see you being, like, kind of a husbandzilla, actually.
I would be a groomzilla. Yeah. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to spend this money. Uh-huh. Damn straight, I'm going to be a part of the process. Like, I want a nacho cheese fountain. I want some chicken wings. That it needs to be a part of the process as well. It's like, it's my party, too, all right?
Exactly.
You know, so... But so men, put your two cents in there, you know.
Yeah,
like,
get your Pinterest board.
Get your own Pinterest board. You probably don't know what that is, but just go Google image something and just throw it on a folder somewhere and then send it to Bay. It's like, I need, somewhere we got to find a monster truck, you know, Michael Jordan or something. We got to fit these elements in there and it'll really be us.
I also feel like, though, that there's something about, like, if a woman like, I feel like for men, whenever women want to talk about marriage, there's this element of discomfort that comes up.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe if you want to talk a little bit about that, like, if you've ever experienced
that. Don't bring it up.
Me?
No, well, him. And I mean, I guess if you've had an experience of, like, bringing up marriage with someone that got really... Like, what is that? Like, why are guys so discomforted?
I'm uncomfortable right now.
You're red.
No. Well, I've been drinking this wine. I think I'm the only one that's been drinking this wine.
I'm drinking it, too.
I don't know. I think it's the case.
Remember, you gotta drive.
No, I'm Puerto Rican. I can handle a lot. But it's the case where it is uncomfortable because, like, we're so worried that they're just gonna catch the feels. Like, catching the feels. So if you bring up marriage early on, then it's like, whoa. I don't even know if I like you. Like, this is scary. Where, like, I don't want to break your heart. Like, I don't want to be a dick. And it's very, like ego-driven. Like hearing, like, feeling uncomfortable around a woman talking about marriage is very ego-driven. Because they're assuming the fact that, like, I want to marry you. Like, I want to be with you. Okay. Like, if you date me for, like, a year, just know that I expect a ring. And that's a lot of pressure.
Okay.
But it's all very ego-driven where it's, like, that may not be the case. She's just letting you know what she's about.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's important for, as a woman, because, I don't know... I'm very much so not into wasting time anymore.
Right.
So I like to ask up front, like, and I mean, and I wait like maybe a couple of weeks, but I don't waste too much time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go out on a bunch of dates with you and we're not aligned, but I want to make sure that you want to get married at some point.
I feel that. That's the issue with my ex too, is like we had those conversations of what does the future look like? And not saying that, I mean, will we be together for another year or two? I don't fucking know. That was also another problem. But it was the case where, does she want to get married? Does she want to have kids? Like, mm-hmm. and then I was like, I don't know if I want that. And that's a scary future that do you want to keep investing on this if I honestly can't tell you that I want it or not? So it's like, but she was like about it and gung-ho about it. But then I started looking into myself like, I don't think.
But then do you think that, because I do think there's something to like, you know, like I want kids at least. Can't talk too much about the marriage. But like
turkey based.
Would I like no, I could do it the natural way. I might not keep you around.
Just woo a man and poke holes in the condom. Yeah.
That's a scary way to get trapped, yeah.
Oh yeah, you see this.
But no, I wouldn't trap them. I would keep the child. I wouldn't keep them.
I'm a fear of getting trapped, to be honest. Like I thought, I don't know why, but like I kinda was like I thought that the guy that I was dating before, like, I was like, I constantly checked the condoms. I was like, is this condom okay?
How do you feel trapped? You have the power in the sitch.
Because, excuse me, a woman can get trapped. Ali Wong got trapped.
Ali Wong got trapped?
Yeah. Well, like, okay, so, like, did you see her comedy specials?
No.
She makes money as a TV writer. Yeah. And her husband went to Harvard, had his MBA and everything, but he was in so much debt. She paid off his debt so they could get a house.
Damn,
that was, like, $50,000 of debt. So she paid that off.
Did you just say you need to get...
I need Ali Wong. Yeah. What's wrong with that? She wants to pay off my debt.
Like, and that's the whole trapping thing. And, like, and I've made more than my old... I've made more than a couple... Made more money than a couple of ex-boyfriends, actually. I hate to say that. But, like...
Why do you hate to say that?
I don't know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But, like, I could have gotten trapped. Like, I could have gotten trapped.
But if, say, you get preggers, you could say, like, nah, I don't want this.
I could say that, but, like, I still got trapped, though. Like... And I could say no.
I think as far as the men perspective goes, like, the women has the power in that where it's, like, it's always, like, yo, I'm pregnant. I'm like, oh, shit. And then
well, you
like,
have to understand her values, too. She could be someone that's not for getting an abortion. And so
right.
That's why it's an important question pregnant. To ask, too. Like, how do you feel about if you have a kid right now? What would you do? And then you're like, I would keep it. Like, okay, well, I'm like, very busy with my job right now. And I mm-hmm. think I just want to focus on that. So it's been real. And then you just disappear. Yeah.
Well, but, I think it's interesting because I did talk about this with my last ex. And it was like, I don't know. It was just, and that's one thing that I very much appreciate about him is that, like, there was never any kind of stress or discomfort when we did talk about that stuff. He's like, yeah, you know, maybe one day. He's like, I think I want kids. And, like, you know, and I was like, how would you feel, like, if someone you were dating got pregnant, like, right now? And he's like, well, I would let it, it's up to them, like, you know, what they want to do, and I'll figure it out. And, like, you know, and You know, that's your opinion.
No, I just get anxiety. No, about it.
But yeah. I'm just saying that, like, it was nice because I felt like we could talk about it and it wasn't him reading more into it. And it wasn't him being like, oh my gosh, does she want to have kids right now? Does she want to blah, blah, blah? It was just like us being able to have a casual conversation about something that could potentially happen. And it was just like, yeah, I think I'd be fine. Cool. And then, like, that was it. Like, it wasn't like a read into, like, me thinking that, like, him thinking that I wanted to get pregnant tomorrow.
And honestly, if you are gonna read into it as a guy, like, ask the questions, like, straight up, like, don't, like, let that simmer inside you where it's like, oh fuck, I think she wants to have my babies, dog. Like, yeah. No, you gotta be like, yo, so I'm letting you know right now, I don't want that at all. So if this pops off, this is where I'm at with that, and I'm just letting you know. So, like, then it's up to her. She's making the choice from, like, okay, do I want to, like, continue this with this guy if this is how strongly he feels?
Yeah.
Or whatever else. But, like, I feel like a lot of men hear those certain things and they just assume that
she wants to get pregnant or married tomorrow. And it's like Bree said, like, I don't think it's bad because you don't want to waste your time. But then it's like, don't get, like, I feel like there becomes this ego thing that happens with guys where it's just kind of like, oh no, she's trying to marry me, she's trying to lock me up, no. And it's like, no, like, I just need to know where you're at, that's all I want. And you know, if you're getting this way about it, then, like, this is very clear that this probably won't work anyway.
You see, it's a good way to go about it. Just keep freaking out,
guys. I just think no.
What? Oh, hell no. I'm free as a bird, girl. You know, I'm out here doing the MMA podcast.
I just think that that's so extra, though. Like, I just don't think it has to be brought there. Because, like I said, I mean, me and my ex-boyfriend, we brought that up. And, like, we were still able to continue a relationship for, like, a few months after that, and it was fine, and we ended up splitting, but, like, it's not like that was the thing that made or broke our relationship.
Right. I think it can. I think it's something that you should digest and, like, research on. Like, I don't know. I kept $500 in my savings account after high school graduation for a reason. Just in case something happened and I needed to help out. And that was like,
For a divorce?
It, now that I'm getting older, it might turn into that. So that $500 is just staying with me through my whole life as an insurance policy, depending on, like, where I want to do and where I'm at. But, where at.
Yeah, I just don't think it has to be. I think that you should be able to have those conversations and not have it be a huge emotional. Like, I just feel like it's being over dramatic for no reason. Like, just establish it, get it out the way, and then that way nobody wastes their time. And you can keep, because the other thing that I think that happens is that people try to, they're like, oh, I can change your opinion. Oh, I can get you to do different. And, like, that's where I think it can get very toxic and problematic is when, and I will say that I think that some women do this. So, yeah. Like, I don't think that that's right or fair, but it's just like, if somebody is being honest with you and saying, like, where they're at, like, Becky read me this amazing quote, and it was basically like, whenever you decide to marry someone, you have to marry who they are in that moment and not who they have the potential to be or who you think they can be. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was so real. And I think that that's just something you should take in life. Like, whoever you're with, it doesn't matter if you can see that they could do better in life. You have to accept them at face value for who they are right now. And if right now they're like, I can't think about marriage, I can't think about kids, then, you know, you gotta make your decision based on that. And if you know that in a year you want a kid and you want marriage, then, like, you can't be with that person. And that's that. And, like, you know, should they decide in, like, 2 years that that's what they want, then, like, that's up to them. But, like, you shouldn't be living your life based off of someone else's standards. Like, it just doesn't. That's just the quickest way to stunt yourself.
That's very true. I guess this is it always goes back to the complexity of human beings in general, right? I feel like we talk about how, I don't know if I'm going to get married. I don't know. This is who I am, and this is how I'm going to feel, and this is what I'm about, and this is what, but then you find that person.
Exactly.
That is exactly, like, checks all those boxes, that vibes with who you are and lets you be who you are. And then they have those sappy speeches where they say their vows, and I'm like, I never thought I would find someone like you, then I did, and you're perfect, and da-da-da-da. And you're back there salty, but maybe you haven't found that person that checks those boxes yet.
And now that you say that, too, like, I almost think that that should kind of be the indicator. Like, I don't even think it's something that we should necessarily be bringing up, but just more so, like, just let it be an organic thing. Like, I think you know, I think you can feel when you've met the person that you are going to marry. And so, like, if you, I feel like if you have to bring it up and that person's just like, oh, I don't know, then, like, I just think that that's a sign that that's probably not the person. Yeah. But I think that for me, like, I just feel like you will, it'll be such a strong feeling between the two of you that you know that you don't want to spend your life with anybody else. And I'm fine with just kind of floating through relationships until I feel that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that makes so much sense to me because, like, I really liked my ex-boyfriend. I did. And, like, but I just, you know how you describe the person that you're with and everything sometimes? And it's like, oh, I like him so much and da-da-da-da. But then you have that, like, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always that, like, little stipulation that, like, is probably going to be the downfall of it all. Mm-hmm. But, like, I have not found that person yet who I feel those things for. But, like, my friends who got married, who are in successful marriages, that's what they always say. It's just, like, something clicks. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting for that clickety-click.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
And I think that it's so much worth it to just wait for that, because that's the thing that I think people are envious of, and I think that's why people marry for as an accessory, because it's, like, they want that, like, magical clicked relationship that those two people have. But I'm like, you can't force that. That's not something that you can just, like, pick up at the store, at Target or something like that. Like, that's something that has to be created and felt. And so you're just wasting time and money by just saying that, like, I'm just gonna marry this person and I'm gonna force this person to be the person that's gonna, you know, we're gonna be the couple that everybody envies. Like, you can't force that.
No.
Yeah, you gotta let it be. I think overall, Brie, like, you're doing exactly what you should be doing. It's like you're investing in yourself, and you know who you are, and you're not letting anyone less than who you really are coming to your life. You're really protecting your energy, and you're not letting the status quo society bring you down and put you in a place where you shouldn't be. And I think more people should be like that going forward, is don't let the pressures get you to a place where you shouldn't be.
Exactly. Thank you.
I mean, the journey, we're in a new game. It's a different game now.
Yeah.
And we just need to accept that. And that means you may be older than 20, 25, mm-hmm. with a house and kids and picket fence. But, you know, how did you meet? Oh, he drove next to me while I walked to work every single day for a year.
Don't want
And then he
story.
Hit me a little bit. But he's okay now. I'm happy. So, and that's the foundation of marriage.
Yeah. It's so weird how people champion being together for, like, 50 years. But it's like, it could have been 50 years of torture. Like, that's not something that I want to champion. Like, I want to either champion the couples that are together and it's like you can tell that, like, it was a pure partnership, or champion the people who grew up and were just like, nah, this ain't about to work, and we decided to split and that's it. Like, I think I just want to champion growth and connection more than just this vapid, like, we were together for 50 years and it was 50 years of hell, but we did, like, you know, it's just kind of like, that's not...
Time doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. Like, don't put in... That's all it is time. And if you're miserable, then, like, get out of it. Like, it's, like, if you're unhappy, that can kill you faster than anything else. Like, if you're just miserable and you hate your life because you're married to someone who just sucks, like, that's going to make your life so much longer and you could be so much happier by yourself. Or shorter if they're crazy and they, like, try to kill you. But, like, it's just, marriage can be, it is this thing that, like, I feel like I would love to have and everything, but I realize that I have to be patient, even though I am not patient. I am a Cancer. I am very impatient. I wanted to be married 5 years ago, but it didn't happen. I think it's for a good cause, because the people that I was dating 5 years ago were horrible, and, like, they were not going to be, like, good husbands or good fathers or anything. Like,
and I think that's what you want at the end of the day. Like, you want someone that's going to be a good father to your kid and a good mm-hmm. husband to you.
Exactly.
So, like, why not wait for that? Like, I would wait.
Yeah.
I nothing's going on for me, really. Like, I'm like, what is, you're going to be married and then what? Like, you're going to tell me to do your laundry and wash dishes and do all that? Like, that's just not worth it to me. Like, I don't want to be in close proximity to someone that's just going to stress me out. I'd rather just be by myself.
I'm pretty sure you won't end up in a marriage where the guy is forcing you to do dishes.
Oh, I am sure to.
Folding underwear.
I like laundry.
There you go.
And that's fine.
And that shows the complexity of people. Also, you need to find a guy who doesn't run for the hills when you do bring these things up. So,
yeah.
Like, that's how you know they're ready. Because literally you saying that scares me, even though we're not even in a relationship. So that's why you should look for men that when those things are brought up, they're not scared to run away. And also when you're in the relationship and those things are brought up, they're not folding back.
But then also be cautious, because when the dude, it like when you tell him like, oh, you want to get married, and he's just like, yes, tell me more, like, be a little concerned about that too. Like, you just got to make sure that like he ain't like crazy or nothing. Like, there's just, you just got to really, I was so impatient with wanting to get married and stuff, but like now I'm just sort of looking at that person as a whole. Like, I think I look at so much more, because I just like was trying to get a ring on it a few years ago, and now I'm just like, hold up, like, let's talk about therapy. Let's talk about, like, who you are. Let's talk about your values. What's your relationship with your mama like? Like, do you hate her? Like,
well, you want to be careful. You don't want to be with mama's boys, because then that'll be a constant fight between you and your mom-in-law.
Exactly. Like, what's your relationship with your family? Like, because it's just so much more to think about, and just be careful.
No, we're in, like, a new era. We're very much the pioneers in this new space, because we're only getting more open with who we are. Like mental, social issues, everything else. Like, it creates this very good conversation and more wholesome, real relationships, but also creates more complexity that we haven't worked with before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, really find your space and find that person that ends up being that.
Yeah. I would say marry with those gut feelings and not with those mental feelings. Don't marry because you think you see this perfect life. Marry because you feel like this person is someone that you couldn't be without.
Yeah, like your best friend. Someone's going to have your back.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what's so hard. I think really we're just trying to find best friends that, like, you know, like we could be inside. But that's like,
sex is very important too. In
right?
Marriage.
Yeah, make sure that you sexual date compatibility.
Someone. Yeah, and date someone who's a reciprocal lover who like gives as good as they get.
Damn it!
Yes, that's very important.
Very important.
Don't
not even just reciprocal, but that can have the ability to love you the way you need to be loved. Because I think that the way that you need to be loved might not be the way that they need to be loved. It's just about, and we did an episode on the 5 love languages, but like, you know, you want someone that will be able to understand your love language and be able to love you in it.
Yeah. And love you in the bedroom.
Yes.
All night long.
All night long.
Okay. So we close out every episode of Real Talk Love Therapy playing a game called Scroll, Double Tap, or DM.
Okay.
And so because we talked about marriage for this episode, I thought it would be cool to do famous couples.
Okay.
So, yes. Do you understand the premise of the game? It's kind of like Instagram. So, you know, I'll give you the three
scroll
couples.
Scroll past, scroll, double tap,
or like DM. It.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe. All right. So, we got Kim and Kanye.
Is this like a threesome thing? Is this like I'm going to have sex with both of them at the same time?
No, but it could be that maybe you're asking them for advice on like marriage or something like that.
I'm going to see
it
as a threesome.
Or it could be a threesome if you want it to be a threesome. Like I said, you can take it as sexual or as like, I just want to pick your brain as
gotcha,
you want.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
Can
I
be threesome?
I mean, we could be whatever. It's postcoital, you know, advice.
Cock and cuddles. That's
cock and cuddles.
You can come with them.
Sponsored.
Sponsored by cock and cuddles.
Jay-Z and Beyonce. And Will and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Wow. They're an open thing, right?
I think they are.
I think they're an open thing. Yeah.
I don't think it's been confirmed, but I think there are a lot of rumors swirling around that have an open marriage. Which could be a great other episode as well.
I will scroll the fuck past so hard from the Kim Kanye thing.
Me too.
It's so
Kanye is just failing me.
Just fucked up and sad and messed up. Like that's like the trash of Hollywood, like the gutter of what that looks like. The plastic, the mental illness, the depression, the abuse, the addiction, the fall from grace of it all, of like what the connection of the common man. Like I can't.
Well, I don't want to get on Kanye about his mental health because you can't help that.
Right.
But
yes, very much so.
I do think him maybe not treating it and being such a public figure is very problematic.
Right. It's just a sad Hollywood story in the way I see it, and because he means so much to me, it hurts. That I'm like, man, why
are you doing this?
Why are you with her for, man? Come on, you're so cool. Like, ugh, God. But it's like, yeah, your brother who has like a bright future ends up getting like caught up with like old girl from high school. It's like, God damn it. Yeah, it's like, ugh. But
Kanye.
Damn it, Kanye. And then I would double tap. What was Beyonce
and
Jay-Z, and then the other one was
Will and Jada Pinkett Smith.
I would You know what? My difference between Jay-Z and Beyonce, like, iconic, dope, amazing artists, but I don't know who they are as people. I feel like I can't touch them. Mm-hmm. Versus Jada Pinkett and Will Smith, I feel like I see the relationship and I could connect with that and I could touch that and I like who Will is and I like, I don't know. Maybe it's a little fake, but I just feel like.
Well, you also said, well, who do you want to have a threesome with?
Is oh, threesome?
More
oh,
sexual
man.
For you or more like I want to chit-chat?
It's more chit-chat. It's more like how I would want, what relationship I would want to be in, okay. I guess. Or like, I'm kind of seeing a reflection of me. Because like, you always want the Beyonce. Like, I want to be the Jay-Z Beyonce of, you know, so-and-so, like mm-hmm. that. But it's like, but also, what's going on behind closed doors?
Well, see, that's where I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like Jay-Z and Beyonce really complicate things for me because, like, Jay-Z did cheat on her. And, mm-hmm. like, I think that Beyonce, for so many women, represents, like, perfection and idealism. And, like, the fact that someone that looks like her and is as talented as her could still get cheated on, I think is, like, so hard for people. And so then it's like, I don't know if I could say that that's necessarily, because yes, I mean, they came out of it on top and they're the super power couple or whatever. But I think, I mean, and I think maybe this is a future episode as well, but talking about like marriages and cheating and like, how do you come back from that? And like, how do you know when yeah. it's time to leave or how do you know when it's time to try and salvage the marriage? And like, Beyonce had to do what she had to do. I just think that it's such a common narrative for a man to wrong a woman in a heterosexual marriage and the woman be expected to take him back. And so, like, and I was having this conversation with a friend where, because, like, you know, the whole Lemonade and Everything is Love and 444, like, it's hard to tell how much of that is their real life versus how much of that is art. And so if it's their real life, I get it. But I think that, you know, if part of it is also art and them kind of leaning into what happened to them, I just think that having her take him back in this narrative in some ways can be, I don't want to say it's damaging. I just think that it's old. Like, I'm just so used to women yeah. respond, like the response being that I am expected to take him back. And so I wish that, like, again, if it's their real life, I can't do anything about that. And like, that's what she has chosen and decided. And I think that that's fine. But I think that if this is more of a them leaning into what happened and this is more so art, then I do think that, like, as an art story, like, I think that there could have been more to it. I think that, you know, I think about Lemonade and I think Lemonade should have been left at her just like saying that, like, I'm done with this. Like, I'm mad and that, you know, like, I don't know if I want to take you back or not. And like, really allowing women to think about, like, what do I need to see in order to take you back?
Yeah, that's a hard thing. I mean, what is this? I mean, it's their marriage. It's her choice.
Yeah.
It's the person you chose to go down this adventure with, knowing mm-hmm. that not everything's going to be good. And also, yes, it's very stereotypical of men cheating, but I think that was just a big, like, boom of reflection of what reality looks like. I mean, that's been going on forever. But it's up to the choice of these people that chose to do this path. But also, I look at the elevator video or whatever, and that has a lot of question marks. And mm-hmm. it's like, I can't help but feel like they're just detached from so much. And that's why I don't think I could DM them. Because I just don't know what to believe. Like, how many producers are creating this?
Well, see, and that's the hard part, and I think that's what I was getting at too, is that we don't know how much of this is real versus how much of this is them just creating art. Because the other thing that I feel like I've talked about with my friend is that, like, you know, I think that my critique is more so based on whether or not all three albums were planned or if they just kind of became spur of the moment things where Jay-Z was inspired after Lemonade and then they were both inspired after both albums to do this joint album. Like, whereas, like, if I think they were all planned, then, like, I think that, like, you know, like, I'm not a huge fan of, like, with the end of Lemonade being that, but I took him back. You know, I think that as a storyteller, there could have been more that was teased out in terms of, like, giving mm-hmm. Beyonce the sense of power and saying that, like, you hurt, like, I am Beyonce, motherfucker, and you had the audacity to cheat on me. Oh, you gonna think for some time. And then, like, having 444 be this, like, shit, like, I cheated on Beyonce. Who the fuck do I think I am? And then having Everything is Love be this thing. But, like, I think that, again, like, if we don't know how planned it was, then, like, it could have been these spur-of-the-moment things where Jay-Z didn't plan on doing 444, and then, you know, and then they didn't plan on it, and it's just kind of like Lemonade was supposed to be this full, complete package that then they decided to expand upon further. So
All I know is after we fuck and we're eating breakfast in their kitchen, I feel like I would have a way better conversation with Jada and Will than with Beyonce and Jay-Z. Because, like, oh, they're going to just speak on some real, real shit. Like, there's interviews with Jada that really, like, she's throwing it down. Like, yeah. And then Will's perspective, like, I love Will Smith. Like, so I'm like, maybe that's the cancer in me, too. It's like, after I want, like, what's that stimulating, like, emotional conversation like? And that's why I would DM.
I love how you're Jada leaning into your cancerness.
Whatever.
Now.
Anyway, just for the sake of this conversation.
No, it's a good thing.
Okay. Whatever. Sure.
All right. So you're scrolling past Kanye. You're double tapping Jay-Z and Beyonce,
yes.
And you're DMing
Jada and Will.
All right, yes. Brie, what's your combo?
My Cancerian brother. I have the same feelings. Yeah. Like I. Yeah. Like I am the same. Because you're right. Like I don't know a lot about Beyonce. I can't like. That threesome with Beyonce. Oh my god, I get so shy.
What,
I just
get
in
so
the corner
shy?
Giggling. I just feel like it's her. Look at that butt. Like, it's weird, but like I feel like Jada Pinkett Smith. I think we're the same height, actually. I feel like Beyonce
really?
Is like really tall.
Wow.
And I don't know. I just like Jada Pinkett Smith. She's like, I really liked her character in Girls Trip. I know that's not how she probably really is, but she has always been very down to earth, and I've always like really liked her and stuff. And like mm-hmm. Will Smith is, you know, that's cousin Will. Like,
yeah.
You know, like that's fam right there. But you know, minus the drama with Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. But like, you know, he's been a pretty stand up guy. I had a lot of anger towards Jay-Z for cheating on her. Like I was like, ooh. Fuck you think you are, but like if they are working it out, then that's okay. But like I really do think that, like, you know, them having this album together, it's really like putting in the, it's also kind of tricky too, because I feel, you know, I've been in like tumultuous relationships in the past, and I feel like it's sort of like making things like that okay because she took him back and they're together now.
Yeah,
like that's sort of a triggering thing for women who like did not take their partners back, and then it's like, oh well, like, you know, if Beyonce can take Jay-Z back, then who the fuck do you think you are? Like,
yeah, and yeah. Like my thing is, again, like we like that's what makes it so hard with not knowing how much of this is art versus how much of this is autobiographical, because like autobiographical, like I can't touch that. Like you made your choice, I'm not gonna judge you for your choice. Like everybody has their own choices, but I do think, again, like if this was inspired by things that happened and this was more of a piece of art, then I think that as an artist, I'm not that enthralled by it, because like you said, like, I just think that she could have written herself so much more agency and power than what she did. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the missing piece for me about the thing. But I am very grateful for the conversation that they're opening up about marriage, especially amongst like, the black community.
Yeah, like devil's advocate, like you got to be like, well, you know, like black love, you know, trying to stick it out, work it together. But I'm just like, I saw something today that really spoke to me. I'm going to try to find the picture real quick, but like it just basically said, you know, oh, where is it? Dang it, I don't have it. Okay, but like it basically was like, you know, let's talk about love where you don't glorify the hurt of it all. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, let's not, like, let's just have love stories. Like, I think that it with the struggle of, like, having a tumultuous relationship, like, I think that people are like, oh, like, that's how it has to be. Really, though?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be like that?
Exactly. And that's the thing that I feel like I almost wish that, like, and again, because we also don't know how planned they were, so it could have been that Lemonade was supposed to be the one thing. And so that she needed to tell this whole complete story. But I just feel like there was so much more that she could have said, like, you know, just like really just being like, motherfucker, you hurt me, and like letting it leave at that, and not, because I don't think that enough guys sit in the weight of like the way that they've hurt their partner when they cheat. And I hate that I'm just saying guys, because like that's like who I tend to date. But, like, I, you know, the same thing goes in the reverse, is that when any partner cheats, I don't think that there's enough weight that is put on them. But I also do think that part of it is very heterosexual, in that the woman is expected to take the man back if a man cheats on her. And, like, so I just wish that when we think about that conversation, that, like, there could have just been more uncomfort, that like, it was just kind of like, no, I'm not going to take you back. And, like, having Jay-Z kind of explore the fact that it's like, fuck, she might not take me back. And I need to think about, like, how do I get her to, like, just like taking the time to really think about like, how could I do that? How could I risk that? Because I think that if the narrative is always that, oh, she's gonna take me back, it ain't no big thing, like, then I don't think that any person is gonna have the impetus to never want to cheat on someone, because it's always just kind of this expected, and then she took me back, and then we work through it, and well, and it's that glorification that you're talking about, whereas like, I think there needs to be more of a, no, like, I might not come back to you. Like, this is not an expected thing. So don't think that you're going to cheat on me and that I'm going to take you back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel that.
As far as my combo goes, I think it's hard because I do think that, I think it would be so fascinating. So I'm not necessarily thinking about it from a threesome perspective, but just more so like, you know, who would I want to like chit chat with? And I think, but the hard part is that Beyonce and Jay-Z are so closed off when it comes to talking about their relationship. Like, you know, these last three albums are the first time that they've ever really talked about their relationship in the public eye. And I was actually reading a really interesting article that was saying that part of the reason why they did that is because when the elevator footage came out, it basically allowed them to lose control of their narrative, and it became that their love story was this fake calculated thing. So it made it look like their love story was all about like them using it to make money, and it wasn't about a real thing. And so Lemonade and 444 and Everything Was Love was all about like saying like, no, like, we are real people going through real shit trying to deal with real issues, which I thought was a very interesting read on it. So I don't know, I would be so fascinated to pick their brains. I just don't know how much they would let me in. Whereas, like, I do think that there's something interesting and fun. And Will and Jada are both so very open about talking. So I'm really torn with this one, but I also think that I think I would do the same combo of Scroll. And then also to say, like, I think Kim and Kanye would also be, because I think there's something to be said about, I think it's so fascinating how Kim will literally stand by Kanye, even though Kanye probably almost destroyed their brand, you know what I mean, with saying that slavery was a choice. And like,
yeah,
there's something about me that would want to pick her brain in particular about like, what is it that makes you so attached and willing to defend this person that
money
literally goes against? But at that point, I mean, it could have cost her a lot. Like, I don't know, I guess
I don't feel like you're gonna get much intellectual conversation. I feel like you're gonna get a lot of numbers and why this makes sense. But then that's just going to annoy you. I feel like I'm just going to get annoyed by the time I'm done with the breakfast. Like, I don't know. Kanye's, like, doing backflips in the backyard somewhere. He's looking at how he's been eating with us. Like, I'm a genius. I'm like, yes, you are, baby. Keep going. Keep doing backflips.
You're doing so great.
I'm like, what the fuck? How did this? No one's going to believe me. Like, that's just.
But yeah, I think ultimately I'll probably go with scrolling past Kim and Kanye, double tapping Beyonce and Jay-Z, and then DMing Will and Jada. But I honestly think all three would be very interesting to try and pick their brains.
I don't know.
Because I feel like they represent so many different parts of marriage. Like, I mean, you have Kim, who is like literally ride or die. You have Beyonce, who's opening up this very complex conversation about marriage and cheating, which I think is a very prevalent issue. And then you have Will and Jada, who are just kind of like, you know, like, they might be in an open relationship and like they're just kind of like doing their own thing. And I think that they both represent, all three of them represent very complex avenues at which your marriage could take.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. Well, Bree, I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining
yes.
us on the couch.
Thanks for having me. Where first, can we find...
Oh, I was going to say, Bree, first off, you were the first guest to give us a gift with yes. wine. This is the first drinking episode.
You've set the standard.
And yes. a funny correlation, this is also the longest episode we've ever recorded. So, Bree, you are... Oh, crushing it on all the boards.
Setting records.
Oh, gosh.
Setting yes. the records.
We should clink to that.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay.
Clink.
Where can people find you on these internet streets? Where would you like them to find you?
Okay. I mean, like, not at BuzzFeed anymore, but, like, you can find me on my Insta. It's Breezus88, so Breezus88 at Instagram. Yeah. Instagram.com. But Instagram.
Yes.
That's it.
But yeah, it was so fun having you.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. My thank parents. You, everyone, for listening. I don't know. Do you want to throw, like, any marriage questions at them? Like, what are you? Where's marriage?
Yeah, I guess where are you at mentally with marriage and your age and career and stuff like that? Like, do you feel a certain pressure to be married? Or I guess I would also be interested to hear from guys, like, have you ever felt that pressure, or do you have a desire to want to be married, but you feel weird maybe by your gender role to talk about marriage? But yeah, send us all your marriage related thoughts and questions. We'd love to hear them, read them.
Yay. Great. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Hey y'all, we hope you've enjoyed listening to Real Talk Love Therapy so far, and if you would like to continue to keep listening to Real Talk Love Therapy, we would love it if you could pledge your support on our Patreon today at www.patreon.com/realtalklovetherapy.